Well, I hope the rest of your day was good with your small groups and reflection time on the Word, the importance of the Word, and also last night's seminar. So if the morning's sermon was on the importance of the Word, tonight's sermon is going to be on prayer. If you're going to take notes, don't try too hard to have them look pretty and have them organized, because the sermon is not going to be organized, I'll tell you up front. It got really messy because, I don't know, well, as I was thinking about prayer, it's so complex. There are so many things we could talk about. There are many questions that we have about prayer, the experience of prayer, the growing in prayer. At least in my mind, where I am, and it doesn't seem very clean cut. And so it's going to be long and messy, right? Perfect for taking notes. Those kind of professors are like the worst, but sorry. So we could talk a lot about prayer, right? We could have, I think, one sermon is not enough. Let's just say that, right? Because the Bible teaches so much about it, right? So topically, as I talk about and share from the Word about prayer, it's going to be very narrow. Specifically, we're going to be talking about how should we pray prayers of petition, meaning how do we pray and ask of God for His blessings, right? How and why? Why should we ask of God for His blessings? Why and how? Right? So that'll be the order. So I changed the direction of the sermon a bit. So I won't exactly line up with the questions on your notes. Sorry, small group leaders. But may God lead you as you lead. Okay, so that's what I said. We're going to learn about why we should ask God's blessings, and then how. How do we pray? But before that, mini sermon, because I hope this is helpful. So you got two sermons in one night. Woo! Just a quick thing, because I think this is helpful. At least it has been helpful for me. Praying for some of us is really hard and even boring. And as I think about my undergrad experience as well, and when I was just starting to grow and, you know, trying to understand this thing called prayer, like for some of us is hard because we're not hearing from God. Praying can be hard because we're not hearing from God. Let me explain. A very simple definition or an aspect of prayer is that it's talking to God. When we're praying, what we're doing is talking to God. We're coming before God, calling our attention to His presence and talking to Him, right? So I'm going to use this human conversation illustration again because I think it's helpful. Because when we're praying, using our words to pray to Him, what we're doing is we're talking to Him, right? So just as in any other conversation with one another, just for a, you know, as a conversation, right, in order for a conversation to continue, both parties have to be talking, or it gets either really awkward or, you know, you just say, all right, bye. Right? If one person is not talking, right, it's really hard to carry along that conversation. And there are many reasons why praying could be hard, and I encourage us, you know, think, and again, I want to connect the prayer with the Word because they're not separate things. They shouldn't be thought of as two different ways of growing. I mean, they are, but they're integrally connected because as I shared with us, right, if the Word of God is the means through which God speaks to us, right, and if praying is speaking back to God, those things, I kind of imagine it as like a circle, right? It's a cycle, right? Not that, you know, we say like one line, we have to read a verse and then pray one, you know, that's not how it works. But generally speaking, if you're not hearing from Him, right, if He's not speaking to you through the Word, eventually your prayer life is not going to exist. That's how a relationship works, right? So, you know, praying is hard, and but I encourage you to, you know, as you're praying, even tonight, right, we have two long nights of prayer ahead of us, right? If it's hard for you, examine, you know, is it because I'm not in the Word? Is it because I'm not really hearing from God? And if that's the conclusion you come to, I really encourage you guys to open your Bibles during the prayer time. Because, you know, instead of sitting there and it's really, you know, long, and instead of not knowing what to pray, like, we grow in our prayer as we commune with God and as God speaks to us. So I really encourage you to just pick up the Bible and just start reading, read a passage. And again, we'll talk more about this tomorrow morning, how this works. But read a passage, ask the question, you know, what is God saying to me? And then pray back, respond as you feel is natural, right? Yeah, because I don't want you guys to think that, you know, some people are born as a spiritual prayer warriors. That's not how it works. You know, like, everyone who has come to pray and has come to delight in prayer has heard from God and is hearing from God, right? And so I encourage you, if you feel like, you know, you don't know how to pray, and if you, yeah, if this sounds foreign to you, that praying is responding to God as he talks to you, then yeah, then I would encourage you guys to read, and if you don't know what to pray, right? So, yeah, you know, during prayer times, we encourage one another to pray for one another. That's a huge means of grace that God has given us, right? But sometimes, maybe, at least this is me, right? You don't know what to pray. You don't want to be alone, right? And everyone else is praying with one another. I don't know what to pray to God, so it's easier to talk to people. So, all right, let me go find someone to pray with, right? Not pointing any fingers, right? But again, if you're like me, that was my struggle. Like, it's easier to talk to people. It's easier because they talk back. Meaning, if you're praying with other people just as an escape, I really do encourage you guys to press on in praying and reading the Word and hearing from God and then learning how to pray. So that's just my initial kind of encouragement to you guys who may be struggling, because that may be a reason why praying may be hard. You know, if someone is not talking to you, it's hard to talk back, right? And be encouraged, because God can. He can speak to you, right? Through his Word. Yeah. Sermon one done. All right. So moving forward then, two questions about prayer. Why should we ask God for things, and how should we pray? And with that said, maybe I should have prayed earlier, but yeah, let's pray once more and ask God to help us. Oh God, what a blessing it is that you are God most high in heaven. Yet you say through your Word that the broken and contrite in heart, the one who is lowly, the one who approaches you humbly, you will listen to him. How much of a privilege that is. Thank you, Father, that you listen to us. God, that you listen to us in our day of trouble when we pray to you. God, we thank you that you are not, that you are near, Father. And, you know, I know that some of us are struggling with that, Lord. When we pray, it seems like we're praying to a, you know, black wall. We seem alone. Father, help us to grow in prayer and to persevere. And Father, reveal to us, Lord God, why we should pray. Show us a glimpse of the delight of praying. Show us that we're nothing without you and that we should pray because we're needy. Reveal to us, oh God, that we are like babies and we need a father to cry out to. And Lord, help us to pray. Purify our praying. Sanctify it. Grow us in our prayer, even as we look to your Word tonight. So please, by your Spirit, keep us alert, give us strength, give us alertness, give us hunger, Father, for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, first question we're going to tackle is this: why should we ask God for things? Seems like a, you know, straightforward question, simple question. You guys probably already have answers to it. But why should we pray prayers? Asking God to give us his blessing. So three ways, at least, I think the Word answers the question. Here we go. First reason is, we pray because God will bless us. We pray because God will bless us. We have to unpack this, make sure we don't abuse this. Right, but we ask for God to help us because he will help us. Is this going to be helpful? Yes, because it's so simple. And once the simple truth really takes a hold of our hearts by the power of the Spirit, right? Once we realize more deeply that God is a God ready and willing to bless his people, if we just ask, once we realize that, we will pray. Let's read Matthew 7:7-8, where Jesus teaches on prayer. He says this, Sermon on the Mount. Oh boy, that's small. I didn't get to increase the text size. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Right, the verbs, you know, when he says seek and knock, it's just another way of saying metaphorically, right, to ask. Ask God. That's what Jesus is saying. And what does Jesus say will happen when you ask? You're going to receive. As you ask and you're seeking for the blessings of God, you will find him because God will give it to you. As you knock on his door, he will open and give you what you are asking for. That's the straightforward teaching of the passage, right? And if God will ask, God will give us when we ask, then the application is to ask and pray. Pray to God for his blessing so that you will receive it. So I start with the simple here and we'll branch out, right? Don't ignore God's invitation. He is a God who wants to help you. That is the nature of who he is. He is one who invites us into a relationship. And that relationship, the kind of relationship that he invites us into, right, is one in which he is the benefactor, the one who helps us, and we are the recipients of his blessings, right? So how silly would it be if someone came on campus and, I don't know why this came to mind, right, but someone's shouting out, waving like dollar bills, like, hey, just ask. I'll give you $1,000. That was weird. Shaking around money and being like, hey, you just got to come to me and ask. I'll give it to you, right? Assuming, you know, the guy's not a fraud, a criminal. But you got the point, right? If an honest, sincere person was willing to give out those things, what would you do? What would be the natural thing you would do? You would ask. And so in this passage, we're learning that God is doing this, right? God is not just greater than a man with just a little bit. He's God, creator God. Everything in the earth and all the spiritual blessings that we need, he's ready to give if we would just pray. So what am I not saying when I say this, right? We need to hedge this teaching in because it's very easily abused, right? Right, so don't clock out here after, well, 5 minutes in. Like, all right, Pastor Alex said ask. So whatever I ask is going to be given to you. That's not what the Bible teaches, right? But as Christians who desire to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, as we pray in accordance with his will, right, God will bless us. Right? As we pray in accordance with his will, he will bless us. So he's not a genie. Right. Some people, if we think God is a genie who just gives us whatever we want, then we don't understand the God of the Bible, right? He gives us things in accordance with his will, right? A sermon could be devoted to what his will is, right? But just a few things, just to give you a small picture, right? God is willing and able to grow us in love for him. He's willing and able to grow us in our faith. He's willing and able to help us persevere in our faith. He's willing and able to give you more of the Spirit so that you will live by faith and come to know him. He's willing to reveal himself to you, right? All these are things within his will, right? And we could talk so much more, right? But so when we pray, as we learn to pray, one of the things we should be doing is, okay, what is God wanting me to pray? What should I be praying for? What is in his will, right? And as we find those things, you ask. You ask because God will help you. Right? This is the way He has designed His blessings to be channeled to us. Right? We gain, we grow, we love more. We're able to fight our temptation more as we ask. Right? Okay, but a harder question, maybe. Some of you might ask, why do we pray if God is sovereign? He's sovereign, meaning His will is going to be accomplished, right? His will, no matter what anyone does, right, His will is going to be accomplished. So then it might be, understandably, right, we might ask, then why should we pray? If God's will to bless us or not bless us, you know, if His sovereign will is going to be accomplished, whether or not we pray, then why should we pray? Good question. Because I think you're trying to take seriously the sovereignty and authority of God. But we don't want to think of the sovereignty of God in a way that excludes praying. Right? Clearly, in this passage, Jesus says pray. So we need to, when we think about God's sovereignty and prayer, we need to understand both of them without excluding one or the other. Right? And the way I think, right, God explains His sovereignty in praying is like this. Hopefully this is helpful, right, in my mind. It's helpful. So this is what I think the Bible teaches about God's sovereignty in our praying. A part of His will is accomplished as God answers the prayers of His people. Let me say that again. A part of God's sovereign will is accomplished as God answers the prayer of His people. In other words, God has planned, you know, in His wisdom, in His perfect wisdom, He's planned it so that a part of His will be fulfilled as He responds to people's prayers. Does that make sense? Yes, His will be accomplished, but He's designed it so that His sovereign will moves forward, right? And more narrowly, His will to save His people, His will to bless His people happens partly as He answers our prayers. That makes sense. One quick example of how this might happen, right? If you've been praying for the retreat, thank you. Well, thank you if you've been praying for the retreat. Thank you for praying for me, the pastors, retreat committee. Thank you. Prayer ministry, thank you. Thank you for praying. Because God answers and blesses His people through them, right? So example, if we've been praying, or if you're praying for yourself, God, meet me here, speak to me, give me a word while I'm here, and He blesses you. What has happened is that His will to bless you has happened through answering your prayer. The means through which He accomplishes His will is by answering our prayers. I say a part of His will because there are many things that He does without our praying for it. Right? There's so many things. In tomorrow's devotional, you'll read that in Christ, before the foundation of the world, He chose you. You didn't pray for that. You weren't born yet. Right? The world wasn't here yet. He chose you without you praying. Right? But a lot of His blessings are given to us as we ask Him. That much is very clear in the Bible. Right, so please don't think that because God is sovereign, He's going to do whatever He wants, like, I don't need to pray. Because, again, we're finite. God is sovereign, but we are here in the present, and we're called to live in the present and respond to God in faith and pray in faith. I'm saying a lot of words here. In other words, whenever the Bible talks about God's sovereignty, right, it's never like His sovereignty is always given to us. The Bible teaches about His sovereignty in a way to show us, to comfort us, right? His sovereignty is a teaching that should ground us in and help us to not worry, because He will take care of all that needs to be taken care of. Furthermore, His sovereignty is always presented in a way that in the end, He will always get the glory, right? So it's never, we should not use God's sovereignty in a way that makes us lazy, because he has planned it so that his will be accomplished as people pray, and he chooses to respond to people and bless us. That's how his part of his will is accomplished. Yeah, there's some beginning thoughts on his sovereignty and our praying. If you have more questions, good questions, yeah, Q&A tomorrow, mealtime, whenever. But yeah, may your understanding of God's sovereignty not hinder you, impede you from praying, because you want to come to an understanding where Jesus's and God's invitation for us to pray is compatible with your understanding of sovereignty. Does that make sense? Let's move on. First reason why we pray, though, is we pray because God has chosen to bless us as we pray to him, right? Let me finish reading the Matthew 7 passage, verses 9-11 again, because I think we learn a little bit more about why God invites us to pray. Right? Verses 8-11, it reads, "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Continues, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" What Jesus is doing here is he's comparing God, our heavenly Father, to earthly fathers. And he's saying earthly fathers are sinful, and even they give good things to their children when they ask. Right? They don't give them a serpent when they ask for a fish. Right? And if sinful fathers even know how to do that, then how much more and greater and in a perfect way will God, your heavenly Father, who is without sin, how much more so will he bless you when you ask? So basically, Jesus is encouraging us to ask him for gifts. But I think we learn a little bit more. That Jesus says God is a father who will give good gifts to his children, I think suggests that God asks us to pray because he wants to display and show his people that he's a good father. Does that make sense? He wants us to pray. He's chosen to accomplish a part of his will by responding to prayers because he wants to be known and revealed as the good father as he is, that he is. God could have made it so that he just gives us things without us asking for it, all, everything, right, without asking for it. He could have made it like that. But then we would not know him as a good father who gives good gifts to his children. We wouldn't know the joy of asking our God, our Father, for something and receiving it. And, you know, I don't know what your parents are like, but you know, and some of us, we don't have the best of parents. But here, when Jesus teaches us about God the Father in this way, he's saying that God is a good Father. And he invites us to pray. And as we pray and as we receive, we will experience him as a good Father. We will come to know the joy of being a child who receives good things from his children. So it's a bit deeper than just, you know, we pray so that we can get blessing, right? There's a relational aspect to praying that we should understand and pursue. It's not just going up to like a bank teller or calling Cornell IT and being like, hey, can you do this, this, and this, and this for me? Okay, bye. All right. When we pray and ask him for things, petition him for things, God wants us to experience him as Father. So a part of growing in our Christian experience is to experience all that he is, right? To experience him as King, to praise him as our Savior, but also to experience him as a good Father. And one of the ways that we experience him as a good Father is by praying and experiencing the receiving of good gifts. And oh, there's so much joy when you realize that he has heard you. God in heaven, God creator God, that he has heard your prayer and he is helping you. There is much joy that comes from praying. And if that sounds foreign to you, I encourage you to pray and pray and ask. He wants to reveal himself as a good father who will help you in your walk. Yeah, second reason why we pray in a sentence is we, pre- We pray because God is our Father and we are His children. We pray because when God responds, God will be glorified as a good Father and we will experience the joy that comes with being His children. Yeah, I do think that He has designed it this way because it reveals to us the goodness of His fatherhood, right? A lot of earthly fathers, I mean, some give good gifts, but some just don't listen to their children. And God is not like that. He wants you to know Him and is inviting you to know Him as a good father. Third and last reason, at least for tonight, right? We pray because growing in faith is impossible without God's help. We pray because growing in faith is impossible without God's help, right? So this is kind of implied, but I want to make it more explicit. It's not just, okay, some of us, we want to experience blessings, so we pray, or you know, some of us want to experience God as Father, right? And those are good reasons, right? But third, if we don't pray, we can't grow. Without God's help, we cannot grow, and so we pray. And we know this. We say this a lot here. I remind us again, our obedience, our faith, our understanding, our growing experience with God, all this we can't do on our own. So we pray. At least we should. We should pray. But one of the things that hinders us from praying is our pride. Because we're proud, we think we can do this on our own. We think we can do the Christian life on our own. We don't pray much. Because prayer, if you think about it, it's a very humbling act. It's an expression of our dependence, our weakness, when we ask God for help. And that's why pride hinders us from praying, because we don't want to feel like we're weak. We want to think that we're able, right? And because we're proud, right, we're often hindered. So how do we grow in prayer if we struggle with pride? Well, we need God to constantly break us and show us that we need Him. Let me share two passages that should humble us and lead us to praying more. John 15:5. I preached on this last year. Let me remind us. This is what Jesus says. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's so humbling to us who want to be able to do things on our own. Right? And we've now, you know, freshmen included, now you're away from your parents and you have a lot of independence. And, you know, it's a space in which, you know, we're now on our own. But may we never think that we can live as Christians without God's help. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Second passage. Elsewhere, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:9-10. He says this, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy. I'm unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So a lot of words here. Let's unpack that. Paul in verse 9 says he's unworthy to be called an apostle. Why? He spent so much of his life, after Jesus died, persecuting Jesus' disciples. He approved the killing of Stephen. If you read the book of Acts, right? He approved the persecution of Jesus' disciples. Right? And then God, on his way to Damascus, Jesus shows up to him and calls him to be an apostle. Right? He in a saving way, he appears to Paul and says, okay, I'm going to send you to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul, knowing how he has lived up to that point, right? He knows he's unworthy because he was doing the exact opposite thing of what Jesus is now calling him to, right? So he calls himself an unworthy apostle, right? And he was called to it by grace. Right? By the grace of God, I am what I am. I was called to this out of his grace and because of his grace. But more than just being called initially by grace, more than just being saved by grace, what does he say? In verse 10, he says, okay, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. Right? Meaning he saved me by grace. And after he did, I didn't waste his grace. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. The other apostles, I worked harder than them. I poured out my life to ministry and to his kingdom work. But then he says, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. He says that all of his work that he was able to do afterwards, you know, and we look up to Paul, like, you know, I look up to Paul, right? We look up to him, but all that he was able to do, all the suffering that he was, you know, able to bear, he says, it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. God enabled me to do this. And may that sink in and help us to clearly see our own need, right? Not only for those of you who are actually, you know, in physical ministry, but in any act of love, in any act of humble service, in any genuine obedience that we do for his kingdom is enabled by God's grace. That's what we learn throughout the Bible, and not only in John 15:5, but here. And if this is true, if we deeply understand that we cannot do anything apart from his grace, that should lead us to pray. That should lead us to pray. Yeah, and it's scary when, you know, we think we can do ministry and we think we can love others on our own strength. Because what happens then is, well, one, the ministry can start to become very unloving, hurtful. Or on the other hand, you'll burn out, right? Because you're trying to do it all on your own. And ministry is, again, any fruit that we bear is impossible without our own. So if we're trying to do it on our own strength, going to burn out. And a lot of people fall away from the faith after burning out. So, yeah, may God give us the eyes to see that we are nothing without him. So we need to pray and ask him for help. You know, yeah, if you've, you know, Nora's not here. I miss her a lot. An illustration came to mind, like, you know, us not praying would be equivalent to Nora, like, going to the door and being like, all right, guys, I'm one now. Peace, I got this. I mean, that would be pretty cool if Nora could talk that eloquently at the age of one. But, I mean, that just would be very unwise for a one-year-old to do. And so, do you get the analogy? I'm calling us babies. I'm calling us children. And God wants us to know that we are children. Again, because he wants to help us. He wants you to know that you cannot do this on your own. And so we pray so that we would come to know him as our provider, as our father. There is so much freedom and joy when we come to experience that everything that we're able to do is because of God. And may you experience that. So hopefully now you have a little bit better of an idea of why we pray, right? We pray because God's going to help us as we pray. And as we pray, as we commune with him, as we give ourselves to him, as we enter his presence, and as an expression of our dependence, as we pray, we will experience him as a father. Right? Hopefully that was clear. But now we're going to shift gears. Total shift gear. I mean, it's related, right? If the Bible teaches that we should pray, invites us to pray, it's helpful to begin to grow in our understanding of how do we pray? How should we pray? So again, I'm going to give you a broad picture and not go into much depth with each point, but I'm going to give you a broad picture about how we should pray, right? Give you some verses to think about and meditate on and help, and may those verses inform you and grow you in your prayer. Would your prayer life grow and be purified? Right? So five things. Yeah, I got a lot of time, so I'll slow down here. First thing, pray to God and not for others' approval or respect. First thing is, pray to God. Go to God when you pray. And don't pray for others' respect and approval. It says this in Matthew 6, 5 to 6. Jesus, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus here teaches that, you know, in his day, some people love to stand in public and pray these long, eloquent prayers and prayers that make much of themselves. And so that people would hear them and give them respect and honor and, you know, approval, right? They weren't praying to God. They weren't praying to commune with him, to experience his presence, but they were praying to be approved by others. Because they wanted to be seen. And Jesus labels these guys as hypocrites. It's pretty harsh. But yeah, they were only using the outward form of prayer in order to be approved by others. When Jesus says they have received their reward, there is some reward to praying in this way. What is that reward? People will acknowledge you and approve you. But Jesus implies that this reward is not worth living for. One is, you know, elsewhere, temporal. Men are nothing. Nothing. Only God's reward is everlasting, satisfying. And so what does he say in verse 6? But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Yeah, Jesus says, go and pray where no one can see you and pray. And God will see you. The one who sees in secret will see you and he will honor you and be pleased. We ought to do some self-examining, especially for those of you who have been growing, who are walking, have been walking for a couple of years now. You're serving, right? You're in positions of leadership. You're small group leading, right? Because we are in more vulnerable positions of this kind of temptation, right? To pray so that the people we are serving will respect us. And beyond, you know, especially in retreat settings like this, you know, we gather around and, you know, everyone's praying for the people in the middle and it's good. It's good. But I don't know, are some of us struggling and have to be awakened to the temptation that we're falling into? Are we praying passionately, loudly because we love other people, or are we doing it because we want people to respect us? So these temptations can overtake us quickly, so we ought to examine ourselves. Are we praying to God, or are we praying just for the sake of man's approval? Now, how do we know if we're doing this? I think one sign is that you pray well in public. We pray well in public. But when it's time to reopen your word and hear from him and pray, it's mad hard. I mean, there is grace that comes through coming together, you know. You know, there's prayer meetings on Mondays and Wednesdays, and there's God gives us and encourages us to pray, you know, in those settings. But at the same time, one could deceive him or herself and be praying in those corporate times. And then when you go into your room in secret, you can't pray. And maybe it's because we're praying for the sake of others' approval. So I encourage you, because I want us not to pray for the approval of man, because, well, one, it doesn't honor God, but also if we're praying like this, our praying becomes so shallow, right? And no longer will we experience intimacy with God because we're so focused on pleasing people's ears, right? And ultimately, if you're praying just for other people, when you're not surrounded by Christians, right? If you move on from Cornell and you're in a community with, you know, a lot of non-Christians, why pray? Now that the people who respected you for your prayer, now they're gone, so why should I pray? So aim, ask God, help me, Lord, to pray to you. Yeah, God really had to discipline me through my later years of undergrad, and he's like, stop praying out loud, just pray to me, right? I remember clearly this one retreat. I came in as an alum. I was visiting, right? You know, alum, one of the things that we alum do is like we go and pray for other people, right? And so the prayer time came, and I'm here, like, I want to pray for people. And God was just like, why do you want to pray for them? You know it's because you want to be that alum who prays for people. If you really wanted to pray for people, can't you just pray to me on their behalf? And so he was like, sit there. And I stayed there the whole night. Because God was like, I want to purify your praying. Yes, it's good to pray for people, but don't get so caught up. Don't be ensnared by the temptation to just pray for the sake of other people respecting you. Don't do that, Alex. Your praying is going to die, right? Honest confession, but it really can happen. It really, really, really can. So first guideline, pray to God and not for others' approval. Second, be sincere when praying. Be you when you pray. That's a short way of, you know, another way of prayer. Be you when you pray. Be sincere. I hope this is helpful. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this. This is when God is choosing his next king. He's disapproved of Saul, so he's got to choose his next king, right? He says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" You know, in this passage, God is talking about how he chose a king for himself. But this is how God looks at not just who he's choosing for kings, but what he looks in for in anyone of his people. He's looking for an inward heart that is pure and pleasing to him. So this is related to the first guideline, right? But right, so we're not striving to be kings, I don't think. But with prayer too, we want to know that God is looking at our hearts when we pray. He's not looking at, you know, is person XYZ praying in a certain way? How long are his prayers? Oh, how much did he pause within like that prayer line and the next? Oh, how did he say the word grace? Did he pack it with emotion, right? I mean, this is kind of silly, but I don't know. Don't we all feel this way sometimes about prayer, that there is a right way to sound when praying? And if we're not praying in that certain way, maybe I shouldn't try. And, you know, wow, they sound so spiritual. And, wow, I can't pray like that. So, I don't know. I can't pray. God looks at your heart, not how you sound. So when you pray, just be you. How is it natural for you to pray? Right. I have a one here, but I've already flown into it, right? First implication is don't think that God only hears you when you pray a certain way. Don't think that he only hears you when you speak certain phrases or speak with certain speed or pray a certain length. It's not true. As long as you are being sincere, humble, dependent on God, desiring to seek his face, he hears you. He hears you. And I think often He rejects the one who is just praying to sound good. So be sincere. He's looking for people who are honest and dependent and humbly coming before him. So don't try to imitate eloquence or sound emotional in a certain way. That's not true. And you know, again, on the flip side, right? I'm not saying if you pray like this, stop. But just pray as you would pray to God, as yourself. Don't seem, make it so that you have to be like someone else, right? So I get it. You know, when people ask you to pray for a meal, for your class, or for here at retreat, there's a certain, the nerves settle in, right? There's this, oh snap, public prayer time. I have to pray in a way that sounds good, and you got to pray that meal prayer, right? I think, and again, not pointing fingers, I experience this, have to continually remind myself too, like, pray as yourself. Who are you praying to? Pray to God and be yourself. He hears you. He's pleased when we come to him honestly, humbly, sincerely. This is a related second implication. If you don't feel like you know how to pray, aim to know the God people are praying to. If you don't feel like you know how to pray, aim to know the God people are praying to. Don't aim to imitate other people's prayers. Because just because you know how to pray in a certain way doesn't mean you know God. The goal in the Christian life is to know God and be in communion with him. It's not to imitate how the leaders pray, right? So yeah, aim to know God more. And as you grow to know him, pray and respond to him in a way that's natural. Pray slowly, pray quickly, pray with long phrases or short. Rock and move back and forth or don't. Right, but pray as in a way that feels natural to you, right? You know, at Bethany, we often pray these phrases, and they're good phrases, and I will continue to pray them. Lord, enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we would see your glory. If that sounds wordy to you, just pray simply, Lord, I want to meet you. Show me yourself. Don't feel like you need to, oh, wow, that sounded so good, right? God's only going to do that for me if I pray it that way. Again, silly, but real. Don't we struggle with that, right? Yeah, so pray as yourself. Be sincere. Last illustration. Think of a person in your class. Does everyone talk to that person in the same way? No. Everyone interacts with one person in different ways because you're different. Is there a right way to interact with Ed? No, you act as yourself before Ed, but before God, more importantly, right? Okay, so aim not to imitate others in prayer, but aim for sincerity and honesty. Oh, I'm not done. I told you this is going to be messy, but related. Come to him with your feelings. Let me explain. If you're hurting, come to him with your hurt. If you're angry, come to him with your anger. And if you're feeling confused, come to him with your confusion. Come to God and speak to him in a way that makes sense of how you're feeling inside. You don't have to get your act together in order to pray to him. It's not that we only pray to him when we're, you know, feeling good and feeling thankful and feeling joyful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, there is no way to sin before God when we pray. There are ways to sin before him when we pray. We can dishonor him and blaspheme him and hurt him and dishonor him when we pray. But at the same time, you don't have to hide what you're feeling when you pray to him. Read the Psalms. I think most of the Psalms are prayers born out of suffering, hardship, feeling abandoned by God. And would you learn from them? Lord, teach me how to pray in my current season through the Psalms. They prayed in ways that didn't honor God, but were real to what they were feeling inside. So if you don't know how to pray in the midst of, you know, what you're feeling, you know, ask for help. Because God doesn't want you to leave all those things behind and only come to him when you're, you know. Again, some parents are like that. I don't want to deal with all your stuff. I don't want to deal with your anger. But God is not like that. Right. He wants us to come to him as we are and learn to pray to him in that season. Right. All right, moving on. Third thing we should grow in as we pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. Pray always. Pray continually. This is the command God gives us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I don't have the passage up there. It would have been two words, three words. Pray without ceasing. It's a hard command to grasp, right? But why? Well, one, why does God ask us to do this? But two, is it possible to do this? Can we pray all the time? Don't we have to eat? Don't we have to study? Don't we have to work? Right. So how do we pray without ceasing? Right. So let me try to explain a little bit, or at least my understanding of this. When God tells us and invites us to pray without ceasing, I think he's saying, yeah, come into my presence all the time and be praying to me all the time. So I didn't really change it that much, right? But come into my presence all the time and be praying to me, right? Praying without ceasing means giving your every moment to God, bringing yourself before God in every moment so that when you're not occupied with something that takes up all your mind, you just start praying. Your default, the way John Piper, you know, described it, I think is helpful. Like, you're so bringing yourself before God all the time, depending on him all the time, so that when you're not wrapped up in something, your default mode is, oh God, be with me, help with me. As soon as you're done, you know, getting out of your class, or as soon as you say bye to your friends, you're in the presence of God. You're bringing yourself before him so continually that praying happens. Just to clarify, this command is not like a checklist. All right, this hour I prayed five times, so I think that was pretty good. I prayed almost without ceasing. I'll aim for eight next time. I don't think that's the spirit of the command. I don't think that's what God is asking us to do. But he's asking us to be before me at all times. Live your life in a way so that you're communing with me all the time. Is this kind of life possible, you might ask? Is it really possible to do this every moment of our lives, every second of the day? I mean, man, it's hard to be before him in the word and prayer for an hour a day. Can I really do this? Is it possible? I think it is. You know, let me give you a human illustration. People who are infatuated with one another have no problem being with one another all the time. So if they're not next to one another, what are they doing? Text, ignoring other people, text. Calling if you're, you know, far away. They're so wrapped up with one another. They're so infatuated that they can't be apart. It's not healthy. It's not good. But I just give you that illustration because it is possible, right? It's not beyond our capacity to always wanting to be with someone. And though it's different than two humans being infatuated with one another, I think it's similar in that God, we are able to bring ourselves before God constantly. That being said, the command to pray without ceasing is not something that happens overnight. So don't be discouraged, like, man, from hours to 7 to, you know, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. or 10 a.m., like, I wasn't before God, right? Beat yourself up. That's not how, I think... This command really is a long-term thing that we're continually striving to grow into. Right? We grow in communing with him in our day-to-day, in our moment-to-moment. Right? We grow in it. Two short applications that can help us to do this, though. After your QT, if you do it in the morning especially, right? One thing that has helped me to continue to come before God is take a verse or a word or a thought, right? Some of you guys, you read 3 to 5, I don't know, or one chapter, three chapters, right? Some of you guys read a lot. But just, you know, when you're done, just take one thing with you and constantly revisit it, right? Constantly revisit. You don't have to memorize the whole passage, but just constantly revisit it. Allow it to go deeper and bring yourself before God's word constantly. That's one thing that helps. And as you accumulate these one things a day, right, as you continue to live, you'll have a lot of them. And as you're walking to class or as you're taking a shower or brushing your teeth, you can recall these things and come before God's word and start communing with God, right? Second thing, though, In every circumstance or situation that you are in, try to bring yourself before God. So whether you're about to study, whether you've just woken up, you're brushing your teeth, this is something we grow in. Bring yourself before God. Call upon Him. Pray to Him. Let me and try to flesh it out and give you some concrete illustration. Let me share how we can do this maybe when we watch TV. And you're like, what TV? Like, why would I, why, what? Commune with God during TV? Well, how, what? But I start with something so mundane and not mundane, so simple and like, you know, seemingly non-spiritual, but if God is calling us to be before Him all the time, so too when we watch things. So let me give you an example. Before we watch, or you know, you're choosing something to watch on Netflix, right? Come before Him. Lord, help me to flee from watching anything that would be stumbling. Lord, teach me something about Yourself even as I'm watching something, you know. Is there a truth that I, you know, yeah, I'm resting, but can You teach me something about Yourself? That's something I pray. Or just even something simple as, Lord, You come before God and say, Lord, I'm tired. Help me to rest. Replenish me. Example prayers, right? Praying before a meal, that's, you know, that's common in churches, right? But God is inviting us to do this just all throughout the day, whether or not it's quote-unquote spiritual or not, right? And let me add on, like, He calls us to do this because it keeps us from sinning. If we're continually bringing ourselves before God, right? I mentioned this earlier in the morning. Sin and being in communion with God, they're not compatible, right? So as we continue to come before Him and pray, it guards us from certain things. It helps us to fight. It continues to help us be in God's presence so that we're not tempted to go to leave His presence. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah, third thing, pray without ceasing. And let it not be a daunting command, but grow into it. And man, as you do, you will experience so much more of a wholesome and fuller relationship and communion with God. He does not want to just be a part of your life for 1 hour of each day. He wants you to be in His presence all the time. Fourth thing, I encourage us to grow in is pray with faith. Simple, but let me flesh that out. Pray with faith. What I mean, if we are seeking to worship God in everything that we do, including prayer, one of the ways that we honor Him in our praying is we pray with faith. What do I mean by this? What does it mean to pray with faith? Praying with faith doesn't mean that you're believing so hard that you're going to get the thing you're praying for. Biblically, that's not what praying in faith means. When you're praying with faith, you're believing and depending upon God. You're believing that God is there. You're believing that God is willing to help you. You're believing that God is able to help you and that He loves you, and so He's going to help you. Does that make sense? When you pray with faith, you're praying in a way that before God, you're saying, Lord, You're there. You're willing to help me. You're able to help me, and so I pray. And, you know, maybe some of you are like, don't we always do this, Pastor Alex? Do we? Oh, you do. That's good. But I often don't. Sometimes we start praying just out of routine because it's just a thing we do every day. It's a thing we do every Friday. It's a thing we do, you know, three times extended nights during retreats. You know, we just start praying because that's the thing that we're doing and that we always do. But we can, if we start praying like that and fall into that kind of routine, that kind of praying doesn't honor God. Because as we're giving Him, as we're going through the motions, what we're really saying is like, all right, Lord, yeah, soften my heart. Help me to see Your glory. Give me a hunger for it. When we pray with like that, what we're saying or expressing to God is that, God, I don't really think that You're able to. Right? I'm just praying right now because I have to. Everyone else is praying. That makes sense. Furthermore, it says this in James 1, 5 to 8. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so James is saying, if you lack wisdom, ask. Ask. Ask upon God who gives generously. But believe that he is a God who gives generously. When you ask, ask in faith. Don't doubt. Is God going to give this to me? Like, is he able to give this to me? Like, is he willing? He's encouraging us to not pray like that. And what does he say in verse 7? For that person must not suppose that he will receive. I think what he's teaching is that sometimes we don't receive the things that we're praying for because often we pray not in faith. We just pray because, again, it's something we just do. Everyone else is doing it. So I encourage us all, like, may we be strengthened. I know it's hard. You're praying and it's hard to pray. So, you know, you just slip into these seasons of just praying words for praying's sake. But may we be reminded by the word that there is a kind of praying that does not honor God, and that there is kind of praying that God does not honor. He does not respond to because it doesn't honor him. Yeah, be encouraged. And again, messy outline, but what is this not teaching? It's not teaching that your faith has to be perfect and full and mature, right? When we're young, we doubt a lot of times God's existence. We doubt that he's able. We doubt that he's willing. We doubt that he's loving, right? He's not asking us to pray with this full kind of no struggle, no kind of doubt, right? Kind of faith, right? There's a story in Mark 9. I don't have the passage up, but there's a story there where this man with a son, his son has an unclean spirit, right? And he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, if you can do anything, please help him. He says, if you can do anything, Jesus, please help us. Please help my son. And Jesus senses the doubt, right? He senses that, okay, this guy is not really sure if I can do it, right? He senses the doubt, and what does he say? Jesus says this, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Okay? And then what does the man say? He says this, I believe. Help my unbelief. He says, Jesus, I believe that you can, but also I have this unbelief in me. Help my unbelief. Help me to believe more. And what does Jesus say? Does he say, no, you got to come back to me after you got all those doubts figured out? No, he then goes and heals his son. And may that encourage you, right? What God is asking us to do when we pray is to be real with our doubts, right? To acknowledge them, right? To say, Lord, I have faith. There is something deep inside me, although it's not huge and always present. I do believe that you can help me. I do believe that you are loving. I do believe that you hear me. But I really do struggle at the same time. Help me. And then you pray, right? And that is pleasing to God. And he does hear us and respond to us. If he didn't respond to impartial, imperfect faith, then I don't know. How would we grow? I don't know. He does. So the point is, may you take this issue of faith seriously as you pray. Don't just be like putting up words, but if you're struggling to sense his presence, acknowledge it and pray to God, Lord, I'm struggling. Right? Yeah. Fifth and last thing. Approach God with a spirit of humility. This has been implied, but let me bring it to the forefront. approach God with a spirit of humility when you pray. Jesus said this right before he was going to die on the cross, Luke 22:42. He says this, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Right? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus, in light of the great punishment that he was about to receive from God, he trembled. He didn't, you know, in passages like John 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep," right? He calls himself the good friend who will lay down his life for the friend. He's willing. But at another level, he really didn't want to face the wrath of God because it was going to be that bad. I mean, who would want to experience the full wrath of God, right? And so he prays, "If you are willing, remove this cup from me." But then he also prays, right? "Not my will, but yours be done." So obviously we're not going to the cross to receive God's wrath on behalf of all of his people. Right? But this spirit of humility as we come to pray before him, ask him for certain things. Right? There are a lot of good things that God doesn't absolutely promise. He doesn't promise to always heal us right away. Right? He doesn't always promise to save those for whom we ask that God would save. Right? And so when we ask for these things that are not guaranteed that he will give us, beneath all of that praying, the foundational, the spirit with which we pray those things should be, "But not my will, but yours." And Jesus also teaches this when he teaches the Lord's Prayer, "Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done." It's first, one of the first things that he teaches us to pray. Is there significance in the order? I think so. Your will be done. Is that the way we are praying when we come to God? Is there a sense of humility that God is wise? He is working in ways that are perfectly good, perfectly just, that in ways that will perfectly glorify him. Do we come to him and ask and pray with the spirit of humility, ultimately praying, "Your will be done"? Yeah. And I say this because if the spirit of humility does not accompany our praying, we start demanding things from God in this way of, "Lord, you have to do this for me. Do it for me. Do it for me. Do it for me." And, you know, it is not accompanied by this spirit of humility. When God does not answer, well, worst case scenario, like, we just abandon God, right? We start saying things like, you know, "Lord, if you really were blank, then you would have done this." And so I encourage you now, like, may the spirit of humility accompany your praying. Right? For it honors God, and also, yeah, for our sake, lest we start going down this path where, you know, everything we ask for is good. We know what is right. We know when things should happen. You know, this spirit of pride when we pray. If that spirit of pride is what is accompanying our prayer, it's not a safe place to go down. And so we pray. We want to be praying, "Lord, your will be done. Your timing be done. Your will be done. I think I need this, but maybe you don't think I need this. Your will be done. I think I need this soon, but your will be done." So, yeah, that was a lot. And I do give you a bit more maybe than a week Sunday sermon, Because again, you do have a lot of time. We have a lot of time at night. You have a lot of time tomorrow, and just take the time to, you know, go over these things and ask God to incorporate more of these things into your life. How can I grow in my prayer, God? How can, you know, how can I do this, this, and that? Or ask God and continue to meditate. Why should I be praying, right? Meditate on how you are nothing and you can do nothing apart from Him. Meditate on the fact that God wants you to experience Him as a good Father, right? So, yeah, I give you all those things. And now would we, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask that, and be honest, again, be honest. You know, pray things like, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I want to know how to pray. Lord, teach me. Or I feel like I haven't heard from you. Please speak to me so that I can learn how to pray. Or I feel like I don't know how to come into your presence when I pray. Help me to pray. I'm struggling. I feel like you're not there. How can I pray in this season? Lord, please help me. Help me. Help me. You know, so may God lead each and every one of you in your respective seasons of life and meet you and encourage you to grow and continue in prayer. So let's pray.